All righty. Chapter 127, the book of Psalms, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much today for your goodness. Thank you so much, Lord God, for these tremendous testimonies. Lord, we just praise you today for what you've done. But Lord, you're not finished with us. We are so needy. We are ever in need of your speaking to our hearts, of working in our lives. How we need constantly the leadership, the unction of the Spirit of God. How we need today the Word of God to dig deep into our hearts and to do that which is necessary. Open our ears to those things you have for us. And Lord God, today may you be honored and glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and be seated. As we look at Psalm 127, we find that God's sovereignty is very well dealt with in verses 1 and 2. In fact, God is indeed needs to be in this realm of sovereignty in building the house. As builders, whatever it is that we are building, that house, and I believe especially the house that we live in. I'm not talking about the material. I'm talking about that family we live within. Building of that house is very important. And except the Lord build it, it is vain. It will not endure. It will not have that which is needed. Except the Lord build the house. He said, "If the Lord keep the city, except He protect it, it is all in vain." Unless God protects the United States of America, it is in vain. If we think we are doing it, it is going to blow up in our face, which I fear greatly. Verse number 2, it talks about it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late at night. He says, it is vain if God is not in earning a living. I look at this and I'm thinking, my goodness, God is talking about our whole life. If He's not in it, it is vain. It is not going to really amount to anything. We're going to go through motions and go through motions, but what does it mean in the end? What does it mean? And how we need to understand that God must be the builders of our life, the builders of our families. Anything done outside of the Lord is vanity. Think about building for a moment. And we look back in the Word of God and we find they built a tower in Babel. And that tower of Babel as it was being built was vain because it was seeking to build a way through their own efforts unto God. And God said, hey, that's not going to work. I'll confound your languages. You'll not even be able to talk one to another. I think of the house of Eli, the priest of God, and how he did not build his house for God. He allowed his sons to do whatever they wanted to do, and God had to judge Eli and those sons. Matter of fact, he killed them and put Samuel in their place. Building in the direction of God, building for Him is rewarding. We look in the Bible and God said, build an ark. And as Noah built that ark, there were the inhabitants of his family that were saved from the flood, the disaster that came. God told them to build a tabernacle that they might be able to come into the presence of Almighty God. And this is a building that brings us into the right direction. We look at the house of Abraham, and Abraham ordered his family after God. And we find him a tremendous example for building for God. As can be seen by our illustrations, as can be seen in the following text, I believe our families are very important for God to build them. If we do not allow Him to have that place in our lives in building these families and building our lives, listen, it is all vanity. When it all comes down to the end, it will be vain if we do not allow God to have this position in our lives. Notice verse number 3. Children are an heritage of the Lord. How we must remember, they are our gift. It's that which we have inherited from God. He has given it to us. where society is rightly ordered, children are regarded not as an encumbrance, but as an inheritance. And they are received not with regret, but as a reward. Our society has gone so far away from God, we're more willing, it seems, to abort our babies than to have them and to raise them for Almighty God. And He tells us here that they are an heritage. They are our inheritance. That is what God gives to us. And He wants us to take these children and to raise them for His honor and for His glory. And I notice something as I look in verses 4 and 5. As I look here, He says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. I used to look at that and get scared. I think, Lord, I think it's full enough. And I began to quiver because it was getting fuller. But God says there's happiness in that. And God says, hey, we will be able to what? Speak with the enemies in the gate. They become our very protectors. Not our accusers, not our enemies, but they are our protectors. They are arrows that are formed, and I'm going to speak to our men now, especially in the hand of fathers. Notice here. And we're going to like the father to the mighty man. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The warrior had to be a strong man. He had to be a skilled man. The warrior, if he was going to shoot at the target, if he was going to win in the battle, had to be strong. He had to be skilled. The target that they would shoot at may move. The winds may blow and throw the arrow off course. But generally, the arrow misses the mark because the archer isn't able to pull the bow completely back or his aim is poor. Now let's think about it. These children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. And if that man does not have the strength, if he does not have the strength of God, he's not going to be able to pull back as he should to release that arrow, to release that child into the mark of the enemy. He's not going to be able to direct him properly and do it with great strength. Or if his aim is poor, if he does not have his eye upon the prize, if his idea and ideals isn't proper for his children, then we are in a heap of trouble. Many fathers have arrows in their hands and they have a godly goal for their children. And they need to have that godly goal for their children. But many fathers are more interested in not seeing their children go in the ways of God, but in the ways of the world. Let me tell you something. Because your child might grow up and be successful in the world, have a good job and a good home and a fancy car in his driveway, does not make him successful. Matter of fact, there are many people who have that kind of success that are very, very miserable in this life. And the big thing is that they might be serving the Lord. By the way, dads, we have our goals in setting our children on a godly course, but do not make their goals for them. Okay? Don't tell them, hey, you need to be this or you need to be that. Let God do that. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain. And how we need to understand that. The arrows that we shoot with, men, those arrows, those young people, those children, they need shaped and they need sharpened. They need somebody to fashion them after God's heart. That means you must start early. My Bible tells me in the book of Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. When he says train, he's talking about setting the palate. He's talking about that early childhood stuff. Start early. Start early. Somebody said, when do you start disciplining your children? As soon as they do something wrong. Amen? By the way, if you're a new father, I don't know if we, my mind isn't even working at the moment in this regard. But you know, a lot of times people think, well, isn't that so cute? They just slap mom in the face. Isn't that cute? No. By the way, never let your children hit you. Even in, you know, you need to be careful, even in play. All righty. And anyways, start early on dealing with them. Be creative. I love this in Deuteronomy. He says in chapter 6, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know what that's saying? That's saying having devotions once a day is not going to cut it. It is saying you need to be very diversified. You need to be creative. You need to take every opportunity that God lays in front of you to seek to train and to help your children in the ways of God. It must be. It must be. Start early. Be creative. Work on their character. Work on those things that count the most. Listen. Men, many dads they're interested in their children's grades. They're interested in their sports. They're interested in their popularity. But listen, we need to be interested in their character. Understand that there are character traits like being appreciative, saying thank you, being attentive, being available, being committed, being compassionate, being concerned. These things where we are confident and considered and consistent and content and cooperative and courageous and creative and decisive and deferent and dependent and determined and diligent and discerning, discreet and efficient and equitable. In all of these things, kids in school, you recognize any of these? These are exactly the kind of traits that need to be dealt with in the lives of young people, where they're tactful and temperate and thorough and thrifty and tolerant. And we need to be working on those kinds of things if we are going to see these arrows shaped and sharpened in their lives. We must work on character. We must set limits in their lives. You just don't make an arrow out of something and just allow the thing to go in any direction. There's got to be limitations. You know, young people are looking for security in their lives, and they're looking for it from mom and dad, especially dad, who's going to set some limits in their life and stick to it. You say, "Boy, I tell my child you can't do this," and they squawk and they whine and they holler. Yeah, they want to find out if you're real. If you really mean it. Yes, they're going to do it. But children love to have limits placed upon them. It was nearly 25, 26 years ago, a young lady walked into my office. And this is what she said to me. She said, "My mom and my dad let me do anything I want." She said, "They don't stop me from doing anything in my life. I do not believe they love me." Interesting. Isn't it interesting today that we have children who are raised up in homes that there is very little discipline, very little limits set in their lives, and they go and join gangs. Gangs whereby they must toe the mark in a horrendous place. They must do it exactly as the gang leader says, or they might face death. And yet they long for that and crave for it and get involved in that. There must be limits that are set. Eli didn't set those. My Bible tells me in 1 Samuel chapter 3, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Abraham did. Bible says, "I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him. He shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." As fathers, as those who have those arrows in our hands, there must be that shaping. There must be that sharpening their lives. Assign to them responsibilities. Make sure it is completed. One of the things I have learned with young people today is they don't know how to do anything because they've never been told how to do anything. One of the things that we do in school is we have them clean up about every day, but on Fridays especially. I found out there are students who are teenagers that don't know how to run a vacuum cleaner. There are kids that don't know which end of the broom that they're supposed to pick up and don't know what to do with the end they do pick up. I found out that kids don't know how to do dishes. They don't know how to run errands. They don't know how to do so many different things. Thank God for fathers and for mothers who take the time to assign responsibility and make sure it is completed.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the last part? Say amen. Make sure it is completed. That's a father's responsibility. These are going to be the arrows in your hand. And if you do not fashion them correctly, these arrows are not going to do the job that needs to be done in your old age. Be excited about what you have before you. My Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I mean, get excited about the fact, hey, I'm a dad, I've got children to train. Be excited about the things that you're doing with them. Thank God for those opportunities. And let them see God at work in your life. If there's something that I look back with that I think that I was very big failure in, was God would work and I wouldn't say, look what God did for us. See this and how God is doing this in our lives and how they need to see that. Another thing I believe we need to understand, that the bow, that's the father, needs to be bent and strong. If a bow is going to shoot some arrows, you've got to take that bow, you've got to take that piece of wood, and you've got to take that, and as you would do, you'd put that thing down around your leg, you'd grab the top of that thing and the strings that went in, and you bend this thing down and hook the string over the top. You're taking that piece of wood and you're making it do something it does not want to do. That bow must be bent. To bend the bow means it must be made into a purpose above itself. You need to allow God to use you in something that is greater than you. Something God only can do. Understanding that as a father, the job is too great. But if we allow God to bend us, God can do the job that He wants to accomplish in our lives. The string is the changing of the Holy Spirit of God to hold us in place that we might be able to be used. And thus also the power that we find then as the arrow is slung. The aim must be true. I think of prayer. I think of there's something that we must have in our lives is to be able to ask God to propel those arrows. If there's something that is needed, it is for fathers, godly fathers, to be praying for their children. In 2 John, or 3 John, excuse me, verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. How blessed it is when you know that your child is going the right direction because the aim was true. These are arrows that God places in our hands that He might get the glory in our lives. One last thought with this, and these are very simple thoughts, no great ideas here today. This one perhaps was the toughest one in my life. Arrows need to be released and sent. You can pull the bow. And you can hold. But if the arrow is going to do the job, it must be released. And that child, as we've trained and we've made and we've gone through all the processes, then we've got to let it go. That it can do the job of hitting the mark. Yeah. Released and sent. That's what God is seeking in the lives of our families. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. What a tremendous responsibility we have as dads. Let me ask you, are you a godly dad? Are you shaping those arrows with the Lord's help? Or is it really just all about you? It's an interesting scenario. Are we allowing Him to build in their lives? Are we allowing God to use us to do that in their lives? Interesting question. Let's call the Lord in prayer today. Father, thank You so much. We've heard about 35 sermons today. Some from children, young people, ladies and men of our church. Lord, these simple thoughts from Your Word. Lord, our cups in many ways are very full today. And as You've spoken to hearts throughout the week, I'm sure today You've spoken to hearts. And Father, I believe today that there are some things that need to be taken care of in lives. We're not here by accident. We're not here to just go through the motions. This is a divine appointment. Is that what You have ordered? That which You've laid in our hearts week after week to gather in this place? To hear the Word of God, to hear the testimony of Your people, to be able to sing with joy in our hearts, to give You praise and honor. And Lord, yet so often we fall short. I pray today that You work in our hearts. Lord, not only we see this with fathers and the arrows, but Lord, it's just really a picture of our own lives. As we allow You to fashion us, but oftentimes we become rebellious. Oftentimes we don't allow You to shape us. We take ourselves out from Your hands. We walk away from the purpose that You have for us. God, I pray You'll work in our hearts. I pray that in these moments that whatever the need might be, that it be met. No doubt in this room today is somebody who needs to be saved. Somebody who has never accepted Christ, their Savior, has never realized that they are sinful, they're undone, they're without hope, they have no mercy or grace in their lives, and how they need that. Lord God, that be true, Your work in that heart in these moments. Bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They might believe on You and You only. Lord God, we must give You the praise and ask You now in these moments to whatever might be needed to be done, that it be taking place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.